All right, so I was doing my research, as everyone does when they do these interviews, and you've been in the industry for quite some time. I got to ask a question related to when you booked Pretty Little Liars. Was that a moment in your career that you were like, okay, this is starting to really take off?
I found out about it, and then I found out it was a book series, and I read the book series. And it was something that I normally wouldn't have read on my own. And then once I read it, I can understand why there was such a huge cult following before it even came out. And with most of these other shows that were on at the time, like Vampire Diaries and so on, there were so many shows that were going from, like Gossip Girl, so many shows that were coming from book series. It was just a huge turning point in my career as a young adult performer.
So at what point in your career did you realize that you had an affinity for photography? And is it something you had always enjoyed doing, or is this something that kind of came later?
Well, photography was first. I was really, really interested in still photography because at the time there was, you know, camcorders. I think the most exciting camcorder at the time was like a ZR-10, which is super, super analog. And if you don't know what that is, go look it up because it's a trip. VHS recording, huge camcorders were not easily accessible. So my father had an analog, I keep saying analog, he had a film camera, a still film photography camera, Leica M6, which is a rangefinder camera. He would take these photos sometimes with me, like just out and about. And I remember, you know, he would be like, oh, the light looks really cool here. Just stand right here. Let me take a photo of you. And I'd be like, Dad, I don't want a photo taken of me. And then a week later or 2 weeks later, when he would get it developed, it would be like this incredible, beatific, you know, stationary, gorgeous, like golden light around me or something. And I'd be like, I don't remember it like that. So I started to become fascinated with it at a really young age. I want to say like 4 or 5. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like a technology that I couldn't fully grasp. During the LA riots, I was, you know, in Los Angeles with my parents, and I remember it being a pretty scary time. And we were able to see out and see these plumes of smoke. And my dad was like, you know, stay away from the windows. But I was like, hey, you know what? I really want to take a photo of this because I feel like I remember the moment. I felt like it was such an anomaly. Even at that age, I was like, I need to get this on film. And I was like, can you set it up for me and let me take a photo? And so he set the camera up and I took this photo. It was my first photo I ever took. And it was, it's in my first book, Life, Love, Beauty. And so that kind of kept going and kept growing. And then around when I was about 9 or 10, or when I was turning about 10 years old, right before my 10th birthday, my dad, kind of relinquished his film camera to me to use whenever I wanted. And so I kind of kept it with me everywhere. And it was sort of like having an archaic version of Instagram because I would carry my prints with me everywhere. I'd carry my photos with me and I'd show them to people, sort of like a gypsy, a little bit like a kid gypsy. I would like pull out all my images and be like, this is something I took here. But I was always interested in getting people's perspectives on things that I knew what they were. But I wanted to get other people's perspectives because art is so subjective and photography is such an important means of human communication that when I was growing up, it was my only way into society in a way that I felt like I could belong. Getting into acting was part of that in a different way. So getting in front of the camera, rather.
I'm really intrigued by your new book. Where did the inspiration come from? Is it something, like you said, just seeing photos that you had taken and being like, wow, like, you know, these tell a story?
Yeah. Well, where are you originally from?
I am born and raised in Orlando.
So if I was to say to you, CJ, can you what would be your one place that isn't a tourist place in Orlando that you would say, hey, you have to go here? It's such a staple of my growing up here.
That'd be Wekiva Springs. It's beautiful, old Florida, exactly what it was before Mickey Mouse came in.
Ooh, that's so cool. So now I need to check that out. But so Hollywood to me was that place. But there were so many parts of Hollywood that are off the beaten path that it's similar to, you know, people come here from all over the world. They know what Hollywood is. They learn to feel from the movies. They look at the city as something that like thrives off of its own vanity. It needs to see itself at its best, at its worst. I've said this all like so many times that it almost feels like I repeat myself, but this is pretty much the answer and what I originally set forth. When I was about 11 years old, I wanted to do this book, but I was too young and I was honestly afraid to go out into the streets with a camera and try and capture what I knew this city, town, place to be. And I felt like in my mid-20s, when this book started, it took about 6 years from conception to full fruition, like finishing it. It took about 6 years. And I felt like I had a duty to show that side of it and pull people through it in a safe way and kind of tour a place that I've known that no one really can see, but without telling them how to feel, like kind of showing them, you know, if you go on a safari, because that's kind of what I always felt like Hollywood is. It's like this big zoo and people from out of town are on these tour buses and they go, oh, look at all the animals and look at all the people and look at all the things. And like, you know, you'll be walking down the street and if you live in Hollywood, you just like, it's almost like you're a zoo animal because people are like, ooh, look at the person over there. I wanted to kind of take people into the jungle and show them the beauty and the disaster that lies within, from a standpoint that I felt like not even a local could have. It had to be someone that like grew up here from, you know, birth. And I've seen this place at its best and at its worst. And I wanted to photograph it as if you take wax and you press it against something and then show it to somebody. But of course there were a lot of voices that, you know, I learned a lot in my own way of making eye contact with people and talking to them and finding out what their dreams and what their hopes were. And some people have achieved their dreams in Hollywood and some people haven't. And, I think we all want to be appreciated, right? Like all humans want to be appreciated, and going out on the street and photographing a lot of street performers. It seemed like that was just what everybody here wanted, was just appreciation. It wasn't so much money and fame. It was just appreciation. And there was something pretty existential about that as well. So Stories and Voices from Foreverland, was a very important title to me because I always, I have this idea of this Foreverland is, it's my other Instagram account right now, but, I have two Instagram accounts, but one of them, the idea of this Foreverland is we all have a place that lives with us forever from the time we're, you know, whenever we discover it until we, you know, transcend to wherever we go, we have this place that stays with us that we can go to and visit. And I've always been really interested in capturing those places on film, whether it's a beautiful sunset, whether it's, you know, a still calm lake, whether it's a susurrus of people walking and crossing the street with so much on their mind. And I'm just the background in their life. It's really an interesting perspective to stand in and share it with other people.